Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Chicago's Black Experience Enhanced. I'm your host and executive producer, Chewbacca San Corral, coming to you from Sacramento, California. Our show is Chewbacca's Black Experience Enhanced, and tonight's subject matter is jacklegs, pulpit pimps, and poverty. We're inviting our callers to give us a call at 646-564-9630 and press 1 to speak live. Okay, the reason why this show was inspired today, it was on a short notice of production. This was inspired by our producer, the one and only Mad Dr. D, and our co-host. And what it is that we want to discuss is why that all this revenue that comes into the church every Sunday, you know, for generations here in the Black community, and none of that revenue is used to build infrastructures, or I should say proper infrastructures within our community, these unemployment and homelessness. And I see that we have a caller here from area code 864. The last four is 7244. You're live on air here on Chewbacca's Black Experience Enhanced. Please let us know where you're calling from and what's your name and what's your common question or concern.
Hey, what's going on, Brother Chewbacca? Salute to you, your platform, your supporters,
yes, sir.
And you know, the work that you do. This is your brother Equani, caller from South Carolina, brother. How you doing, brother?
Yes, sir. Oh, I'm doing fine here, man. We finally, you know, got some sunshine here in sunny California, man. You know, with all this rain, you know, finally easing up here. It's always a pleasure to hear you there, brother Equani. Okay, as you know, what we're saying is that down through the history here. And you're a very intelligent brother, and I always got some very, very informative insight and very, very positive vibes. So tonight's show is jacklegs, pulpit pimps, and poverty. And it's kind of like in the Black community when it comes to this concept, it's in God we trust and all others pay cash. And so what we're trying to do is get some feedback on from the community, for the community, of how to become self-sufficient, you know, take some of this revenue to make to build our own infrastructures as well, too. And what are your comments on that, brother?
Oh, brother, this is a very, very needed topic in our community because, you know, we have a lot of brothers and a lot of our brothers and sisters for years, for decades, for a long time now that have supported not only because I'm seeing a thing, a lot of the young Black brothers in the Atlanta, Georgia area, they are they are growing in the Allahu Akbar movement, and a lot of times these are the brothers from the hood, and it's a very amazing thing, like how us as Black people will reach and we'll practice and we do it to death, all other things except for our African culture, and.
Yes,
inside
sir.
Our discombobulation right now as a people, the only way we can go forward is to go back to our traditions. We can't go forward going back to the crackers traditions. We can't go forward going back to, you know, the Asians traditions. We have to go back to the traditions of us as African people. And this is the thing, that we have the most extensive history in the world ever. And a lot of our people, rather than looking at, and you made a good point, because the preachers or those people that are holding the pedestal or on the podium, they are basically the voice of the people. You understand? They should.
Yes, sir.
All right?
Yes, sir.
And going back to what Dr. John Henry Clark taught us, is that all three Abrahamic religions, they were brought upon us for political purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And like, even when
right.
you hear these pulpit pimps, these pulpit preachers, not only in there,
yes,
but you got other false prophets, even in the conscious community. You got some brothers,
mm-hmm.
and I understand what you're saying within specifically in the church, but I will
right.
say this, also the same dynamic which it takes a dirty Negro to come in, try right. to finagle the same dynamic we see inside the brothers and brothers that are selling dope on the corner to their people.
Yes, sir.
The same dynamic inside the pimp that is pimping someone's daughter in order to get him a check. It's the same thing inside, even with Ben Carson, where he's going to act like an Uncle Tom and dance around just to, you know, act like he's done, but to get a check. And we have to stop
right.
this as a people, and us as those people, because that's the reality. There's only one preacher, but there's a whole lot of people around that support him. We as those
yes,
whole
exactly.
lot of people, we're going to have to stop supporting those people. You know, even with, if a woman is supporting a dude that's coming back beating her up and cheating on her, she has to stop
mm-hmm.
supporting him in order for that thing to go away. So I'm going to say this,
exactly.
that we as those same people, they got everybody talking about this movie, Get Out. We talk about
right.
Donald Trump. We talk about, you
right.
know, all the you know, the unjust police killings. We quote unquote say we sick and tired of it. The 9 people that got killed in the church. One thing we can say
yeah.
that all of our monies that have been going into the church, they
mm-hmm.
do nothing for us. We have given
right.
over $1 trillion, probably more than that, since we've been in the church. All to not get
no,
jobs
brother, way more
church.
Than that. You know, not interfering, Kwani, but what I'm saying, way more than that, man. Trying like about 10 or 12, 20 trillion. I'm talking about, you know, let's say just on that in the last 50 years, it's because every Sunday, you know, they pass around the collection plate, and then you got the pastors driving these fancy cars, man, and then wearing these nice diamond-studded rings, nice
right.
suits and what have you. And then at the same token, but the majority of the congregation is impoverished. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you've seen it down in Carolina. I've seen it on the south side, the west side of Chicago, out in West Oakland, Sacramento, man, south central Los Angeles. You see what I mean? And it's kind of like a disciple, man, that's been transcending generations. After generation, conditioning us to take, you know, our capital revenue and put it out of the community, as opposed to reinvesting it and building up the infrastructures. You see what I mean? Because I feel right now, just on the business aspect, that solar power and aero power, man, are great ventures for us to, you know, invest in, you know, with a land, you know, to build up the goods that you need to produce it. Plus, this will put our people to work. Plus, we have more of a checks and balances on what comes in our community as far as the environment is concerned. And as you always pointed out, man, on many conversations that we have, is that we have to go back to tradition, the concept of Sankofa, because going back to tradition is the first step forward. But I'm sorry, brother, go right ahead with what you're saying, man. Come on with it.
No, no. Everything that you're saying is on point, and it all has to do with this, because, you know, we think about voodoo, we think about juju, we think about our
right.
African tradition. This was stuff that was important
right.
to our African ancestors, and it's still important
yes,
to, you know, those wise elders that are keeping up those traditions, that are, you know, they haven't gave up.
Yes, sir.
You know, the majority of our people are, hey, go to church and praise Jesus, and it'll be okay. But like
right.
I say, I do salute those brothers and sisters that, you know, that are keeping up the integrity and the quality inside, which we have. But
mm-hmm.
when you look at Christianity, when you look at the church, it's doing exactly
yes.
what it's functioned to do. It's doing what it's supposed
mm-hmm.
to do. Enslave the black
mm-hmm.
people so we can continue making the crackers big. It's up to
right.
us. We got to stop feeding the Europeans. We're going to have
yes.
to, you know, like I said, after 9 of us got killed in that church, we should have been
mm-hmm.
asking questions to God, to the Savior, whoever, and saying, well,
right.
why is it that we have given our time, we've given our resources that we haven't had, you know? Now,
right.
the Creator creates everything. Obviously, he must have created the cracker as well. So why doesn't
yes,
the cracker,
sir.
I mean, why doesn't the Creator, you know, take some stuff from the cracker and put it back. You know, why are we the ones still getting, you know, you had the four little girls that got bombed in the church, and nine more black people. Why is it that we go to church and we sing praises, we shout?
Mm-hmm.
I never seen a cracker catch the Holy Ghost like black folks. But why is it that we do
exactly.
all this stuff that the Bible says we should do, but then we are not rewarded? Obviously, inside
exactly.
science. Being able to add properly, it's not working.
Right. And then not to mention that, and we were still constantly brutalized in the name of it. You see what I mean? And then also, too, I'm not going to say any names here because we ain't trying to crumb them on nobody or anything like that. But, you know, the show is just inspired by is that when we look at these other groups of people, regardless of their faith or traditions or what have you, when it comes to revenue and commerce, they got way, way much more cohesiveness than we do. You see what I'm saying? Particularly when you see it out here in California near this trillion-dollar gem called Silicon Valley. And why has none of them have come about upgrading our resources and our infrastructures of education, commerce, you know, business and trade of how we do things and our politics? It's because, as you know, a lot of these individuals that we're mentioning here, the jacklegs, pulpit pimps, have been used to pretty much keep us in abject poverty, but they get a lot of wealth up out of this community, and we should be reinvesting in ourselves. You see what I mean?
Right, brother, right. And even when you were talking about us getting together, investing in these things, we can't
mm-hmm.
wait on Jesus to come fix
it
for us.
Exactly.
Like, because we going to have to start, and that's where we go back to self-sustainability, doing it ourselves. And,
yes,
and that's
sir.
Why the cracker
yes, sir.
Put this Jesus thing. That's why the cracker put this Jesus thing in us, so instead of us going out and doing it ourselves, we'll just be praying,
right.
And we'll do something that never, ever works. And the cracker already knows this wasn't going to work, you know. But he got us convinced that, well, if we just pray
yes,
about
sir.
It, you know, the reality is, like you said, Brother Shabaka, we don't even have grocery stores. Well, we have to wait on the Indians, which the Indians have 8 gods. They have 9 gods. We got to wait on. They got many gods. Now tell me why
mm-hmm.
is that we have to go to the Indians to give us our gas. We have to go to the Indians
mm-hmm.
to do. So you mean to tell me God made it that way to allow
right.
this person that has many gods to be over you? You understand? We've been
right.
going to church believing
exactly.
in Jesus for the longest. So why isn't it
yes,
that
sir.
We have the stores? We ain't got no stores.
Exactly.
These Indians coming up.
Yes.
And so I think it's a bigger picture, Brother Shabaka, that our people need to be seeing. Like I said, now we don't have – I was talking to some business owners in my town the other day. Nobody
mm-hmm.
knows of a black grocery store. And when we say we as a black people can't even feed ourselves – that's some serious stuff, man. So we must come together
yes,
as a collective and start doing this stuff, man.
Absolutely, man. It's because our very survival is on it. And then, as you so eloquently pointed out there, Brother Kwani, is that we have to control our factors of production, which is land, labor, the capital, and the risk management. You see, it's because I'm doing a lot of research and going to do some more on Dr. Claude Anderson, on Dr. Boyce Watkins. It's because of the amount of tithes that the black community pays into the church every Sunday, and keeping in mind back for generations, you know, that's well over, $50 trillion. You see what I mean? If you pull that back, and if that money was used wisely, or if we had, you know, some type of cohesiveness, you know, on cooperative economics, man, we'd definitely be a definite major factor in the economical worldwide market. But hold that thought there, Brother Kwani. Yeah, we got another caller calling in out of the 562 area code, the last 2373. Okay. How you doing? Yeah, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me? This
yes,
is Brother Michael Ford. This is Brother
okay,
Michael Ford.
Yes,
all right,
okay.
All right.
How you doing? Okay, man, I'm up here in Northern California, man, and I would imagine, man, that you're dying here in Southern Cal, man, so how's the sunshine?
Yeah,
down,
I'm back home, brother. I'm back home. I'm going to listen in, and if I got something to say, I'll respectfully come in.
Oh, yes, sir, absolutely. Yeah, appreciate you. Okay, Brother Kwani, as we were saying, is what we was going over here is that the amount of this revenue that is being generated within the black church. And then, you know, you have these elaborate pastors with these fancy vehicles, you know, owning all this great real estate and what have you. And why isn't that money not being invested back into the communities? Because, like you said, you know, we got to have our own grocery stores, man. We got to have, you know, our own basic essentials for our sustainability. And then also, too, on some previous podcasts that we had mentioned about acquiring and owning land. Because a lot of the brothers, and I think he was on a few of those shows, was talking about the availability of land down there in the South. Could you elaborate on that, brother?
Well, I think again, brother, it's going to have to, because even when we take it a step further, looking at, mm-hmm. you know, if we take a poll of how we utilize our resources as a people, you know, you know, we talk a lot about HBCUs, and I'm kind of mm-hmm. stemming all this stuff kind of comes from the docile nature that is exercised in church, because not more serious, if your God or your mm-hmm. Savior hasn't told you to be serious about how you spend your money, guess what you're going to be doing? You're going to be negligent with it. You feel what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
There have been so many times that people in the church that feel like, hey, man, we just got to give. You got to give to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, my grandmother mm-hmm. told me self-preservation is the first law of nature. So you got to make sure you
Absolutely.
And yourself and people that look like you are good first. But right now,
yes, sir.
Because we have a lack of identity, Brother Shabaka,
mm-hmm.
we have a lack of
yes,
identity.
Sir.
We Africans running around wild. I don't know if you've seen the movie Get Out, but
no,
everybody's been talking about that. Yeah, everybody's been talking about that movie. But what you see is, in that movie, there are black people with black bodies, but they actually have, you know, white eyes. So, you know, so of course, if your resources, rather than going to help out your own people, they're going to be helping out, you know, your enemy. Like, when we go online now, and you go to Google, anybody
mm-hmm.
can go to Google and type in Jesus, all
right?
And when you get Jesus, the picture of Jesus, all of them are going to be white. So what we are doing is when we're going into the church and we are giving our money subconsciously to this white Jesus, we're saying, white Jesus, you are the daddy. White Jesus, you are the master. So mm-hmm. this is basically a continuation, and this is the mm-hmm. documentation that I have to prove that 100% that our people are still enslaved. You understand? We still
yes,
see
sir.
The remnants.
Mm-hmm.
We still
mm-hmm.
see the psychological change of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, when we go out and we, you know, even when you look at BET, when you look at BET right now, rather than us
mm-hmm.
being able to look at that and seeing the height of our integrity, you see a dude that's rapping about taking drugs, selling drugs, doing drugs, everything, you know, pimping women. And that dude
mm-hmm.
is the same dude with millions of dollars. You understand? If we go on there and we're talking about integrity, promoting quality of African life, guess what we're going to do?
Mm-hmm.
We're probably going to get kicked off. So, you know, all of these things, and a lot of our people spend money, just like I saw a pro-black
mm-hmm.
brother go out to go to an R. Kelly concert. R. Kelly, this guy is poisonous to our people. This guy is poisonous
mm-hmm.
to our community, especially our little girls. Why would anyone go out and support this? So I think not only the pimps in the church, the pimps on the corner, the pimps in the store, the pimps of, you understand? And I think it kind of starts with the church, because if you start and you're docile and you're not mindful of how you're utilizing your money, or you're getting pimped by those in church, when you leave from the church, guess where you're going to get pimped from? Anything after that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, hold that thought there, Brother Kwani. Yeah, you know, our co-host, man, Dr. D, he's going to be coming on there with us, because he's the one who inspired, you know, today's show, as a matter of fact. And then, too, another thing that we could do, too, with this is that we could be putting our own people to work, you know, construction jobs and the trade jobs and what have you. Therefore, you know, bringing income to the home. So, therefore, you would have both parents in the home. See what I mean? You know, to help raise kids up properly and what have you. And won't have them going away wild and things of that nature right there. But as you had commented on earlier about the spirituality, you know, and now let's look at our history, you know, going through the Mai Alpha Man, you know, going through this oppression, brutalization, and we're still here. So that definitely goes to prove our spirituality. And then also, too, we have to look at the educational infrastructures that we need to build, you know, for ourselves that could have been done, you know, with some of this revenue as well. You see, to change the mindset. And then also, too, I want to comment, you know, and I'm sure that you're aware of over there in Buffalo, New York, about the sister's kids that was taken away from her by Child Protective Services is because she was homeschooling the kids.
Oh, yeah, brother. Oh, yeah. That's what, I was actually telling somebody about that. And a lot of times
right.
people were talking about, you know, how black people in, you know, in New York had been participating in state politics or in local government.
Right.
And you know,
right.
a lot of times people had pride, black folks from New York, they had pride in themselves. Hey, man, we are participating in local government. And I'm just telling Negro
right.
or encouraging us all the times that mm-hmm. doesn't work for us. And then even in this case right here, you're asking
mm-hmm.
where is the justice for this sister, even after you're seeing
right.
that the sister had a paper trail. She made sure that
okay.
everything was documented as she was going. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
She didn't show herself.
Okay, hold on there, Brother Kwani, for 1 second, brother. Yeah, okay, please continue what you're saying. Okay, we got our co-host with us, the Mad Dr. D. Okay, Mad Dr. D, you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing?
Okay, all right. Yeah, we got Brother Kwani on the line with us from South Carolina, and we also got another brother on the line checking us out. But you inspired today's show, and what we're talking about is the jacklegs, pauper pimps, and, you know, and how this poverty keeps going on in the community and perpetuated generation after generation, and the amount of revenue that's coming in through the black church that does really to do a lot much better for the community. So what are your comments on that, Mad Dr. D?
Well, I have a lot to say on this. Well, we can start with the words, "In God We Trust." And you have
mm-hmm.
these, we have all these psychics, politicians, you have these I don't know, kind of hypocrites, that all they do is rape our own community with loud talk
mm-hmm.
and empty promises. And
right, exactly.
Or that they feed specifically on the weak-minded.
Okay. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying about, you know, is that like how the majority of the black congregations, you know, throughout all the regions of the United States, is, you know, are in low-income communities. And it would seem to me that after all these years, decades, you know, if not a couple of centuries of why none of this revenue has been brought together on a collective basis to upgrade the quality of life in the community. It's like how we see, you know, other groups thrive who's been here a lot less than we have, you know, business-wise, and then acquiring real estate, then acquiring commercial real estate. And then what they would do is then, of course, you know, they would upgrade, you know, the quality of life in their communities. And it's like on a grand, large basis, we're constantly taught to go out there and be consumers and produce for others and not produce for ourselves. And also, too, to have consumers from the international market cater our goods, you see. And so that's another question that we're putting out there, and our callers are welcome to call in here at 646-564-9630 here on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. And I'm your executive producer and host, and the Mad Dr. D, our producer and co-host. Okay, so what we're putting out there, ladies and gentlemen, is jacklegs, pauper pimps, and poverty, you know, is our topic. And is there anybody out there who has any ideas, suggestion, or what can be done where we could shift this economical power that we have and flex this muscle for our benefit? And then what are our obstacles to this? Okay, Brother Kwani, you got any comments on that?
Yeah, absolutely, brother. And I'm going to try to be as sound as possible.
Sure.
The thing we see in controlling our external resources.
Right.
For African success. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
We have to be definitive.
Mm-hmm.
We have lost our culture. The culture that we now is like a non-culture. We have a culture where we like to, like, again, our children now, they like to do drugs. Everybody's sipping lean now. They're sipping codeine. So now, because we haven't facilitated our children with the proper knowledge, facilitating and accommodating the right culture of the African cells, just as the Jews do, because the Jews ain't going to let their children mix in and intermingle and be, you know, just as the Spanish people do, you know, keeping it cultural.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be a very important part, an organic culture that is going to look and exemplify the success of our being. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not talking about everybody, specifically us as black people. Knowing how to control our thoughts, words, and deeds,
mm-hmm.
Brother Shabaka, is going to be a very how to be moral to African standards. Because a lot of our black people think the only way we can be moral is by doing the Ten Commandments. They don't know that, hey, we were moral before the Ten Commandments came. So I think the education is going to be a thing. And
absolutely.
After we get this education, knowing how to control ourselves, knowing how to control our thoughts, because wherever your attention
mm-hmm.
goes, your energy shall follow. That means your money. That means your gold. That means your car. That means everything. So I think just getting a grab on our minds and our spirits,
mm-hmm.
doing the internal work, Brother Shabaka, is going to be a very important thing, brother.
Yes, sir. It's because, as you have pointed out, though, which is true, is that we are spiritual people by nature. It's because, you know, look what we survived, you know, of the plantation system. But also, too, we also have to be aware of that. We are aware, too, you know, of the adverse effects of it. And this is why one of the major problems that we're having, you know, is because we have no cohesiveness. And then on top of that, you know, you constantly got the absence, you know, of the black male in the family unit, you see. And this is why we've stated, like, on previous podcasts, and you and I had commented on about how we're in so disarray. It's because the self-destruction keeps getting perpetuated again, again, and again. And then, as you had pointed out, of all these bad habits that carried on from generation after generation. And then, too, a lot of the situations that you had, you know, in the black institution of the church, in the black community, you know, all down through history, a lot of controversies and things of this nature right here. And then, too, is that we love to put our business in the street, you know, as they say. You see what I mean? So this is another problem, you know, that we constantly that's going on. And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, you know, please call in for comments, questions, and things at 646-564-964. Press 1 to speak live on the air, and we'll be talking about it exactly. Poverty. And we're having a discussion of how we can perhaps channel some of the revenue that is generated as opposed to our collection. We invest back off into some major collection. And then, too, out here on the West Coast, coming to you from Northern California, we see a great, great, huge disparity from the trillions of dollars that's generated in social media compared to those that don't have it. We see a great deal of this all across the U.S., but from what I've seen up there in the Bay Area is that you got Twitter down there in downtown San Francisco on 9th and Market, I believe, or 10th and Market, and then right across the street from over there, you know, you got people living in tents, same thing over in Oakland, not too far from Pandora and Ask.com, you know, they're built, you know, just 2 or 3 miles from there, you have people in that jet. And all this revenue that these churches are bringing in, why are they not reinvesting in land, redevelopment? And Florida's universal law and principle, they call it progress. But then when it comes to us, you know, we're viewed down upon, you know, from this side. But also, too, ladies and gentlemen, I want to give a special shout out to Black I Stand Radio, all the RBGs up there in the Pacific Northwest, also to Red. Water situation there back in Flint, Michigan. and making sure, you know, that everybody's in safe in regard to that. Okay, so we're going to bring in here our co-host, the one and only man, Dr. D. Okay, man, Dr. D, you're there, sir.
Yeah, well, let me start with the first thing we need to do is stop raping each other. These actual so-called creatures and they have a very powerful influence in the communities and the politicians, all the above. You know what I mean?
Okay,
and
who's
I have
this
particular
you're speaking of?
Excuse me?
No, who's this here you're speaking? Yes, sir. Okay, yeah. Okay, who in regard is this here you're speaking of when you're saying that you got these individuals and the poverty that they perpetuate? Yeah, who in particular was you speaking
about? I'm talking about the blacks. You know, this here. Because mm-hmm. let me tell you, this is what I did one day. I go around just to prove a point. I did the construction. So when I get off work or something I do in early in the morning, even on Sunday, mm-hmm. I said, so I'm pretty dusty, you know. So, and I proved the point. So I went to one church, and, you know, they wouldn't let me in there because I was all dirty in there. So I went to a, Jehovah Witnesses. They wouldn't let me in.
Okay.
You know, they treated me and I'm such a fun. This happened all day long. You know, mm-hmm. like, oh, change up, you know. I said, yeah, you know what I mean? So right then and there. And then they turn around here and all they wanted was in your pocket. You know, but yet they drive around here, brand new cars, you know, diamond rings. You know, they want for nothing. They don't pay taxes. And then they sit around there and tell you, give me. And everybody's going to fix in some poor, you know, so they're poor. The rich they just raping us. And then they do it all.
Okay, so you're talking about is as far as raping their pockets, taking their money, you know, with ties and living these elaborate lifestyles, driving these fancy cars, okay, having these fancy houses that they're living in, and then the congregation is pretty much their low income or pretty much in downright poverty. And I have to agree with you, and that's the point that we're making, is that, all that revenue should be taken, you know, to give these people some jobs, some type of vocational rehabilitation.
Yeah.
Attending to their special needs and what have you. Okay, hold on, man, Dr. D. Okay, I'm going to ask Brother Quine, you know, from South Carolina. Okay, what do you got to say about all that, sir?
Well, brother, I think even when we look at it a step further, I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but I know the Masonic organization. Masonic groups, the Masonics, and also the Eastern Stars. Okay, because I know right behind my church, when I was in the church, they had a Masonic lodge, and even inside a lot of the, you know, you have to look at the Freemasons and a lot of those groups that the quote unquote secret societies, or you know, even in the Boule, or you know, a lot of the sororities and fraternities, these are the ones in which this brother is speaking about. I went to HBCU. I was in a part of the NAACP. I was in the church. Mm-hmm. So I know exactly very well what this brother is talking about. The ones that, you know, our mothers, you know, our sisters, they go into the church and they spend like $100 and $200 on these hats. It kind of...
Right.
Equivocates and kind of goes back to the way that our young men are spending $200 on shoes, all because like there has been a raping mentality. You understand? They've taught us, since they have raped us, they have made us complacent and comfortable. Well, now we're going to rape each other. That is the way of success. That's what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to have dignity. We're going to have the willpower. And this is where we have to have a discipline. And we got to have an exact African spiritual nature inside of us. We have to have an African worldview inside. We got to know what we have been robbed of, and we have to know what the pros are to get ourselves and our people back to the situation, because if not, we will potentially be doing some pimp work, working and thinking that we, you know, taking some food back to our family, but then all the while we're destroying thousands of other families. You know what I'm saying? And, and I think right now that a lot of Negroes have become very, very, very greedy and selfish. And like I said, I'm not smoking. I didn't want to beat up or kind of call out the Masonic or, you know, the quote-unquote secret societies. But I do know that those are some – we have so many Masonic preachers that they know what the truth is, but they're not going to tell it. They're behind the closed door. They're wearing an apron with the Eye of Horu on it. You understand? That's a fact. They have the Eye of Horus on their white and blue aprons. So that shows even with the Masons having a Masonic Bible. I'm like, whoa, I knew the Masons did a Masonic Bible. So this kind of goes with the same robbing, the same raping, the same pillaging of our African resources that they still currently do to this day, brother. So, man, it's something else, brother.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And then also, too, when we look at our natural resources that come from the motherland of how it has been pillaged and raped, you know, for the last few centuries, generations, you know, all the gold, all the diamonds and what have you, and it's up here upholding, you know, white supremacy, Eurocentric version and what have you, and also, too, prospering them economically, you know, as far as building wealth and then having control of the other world's markets as well, too. And another reason, too, as I've emphasized on many of our posts, is the reason to have the homeschooling, to put this here in the next generations, is because, as you know, pretty much educationally, when they send us to school or have us go to these public indoctrination centers that I call the public school system, basically we're just taught to go get a job, you know, to memorize a lot of stuff, you know, pretty much being programmed as opposed to developing any qualities for innovation, ideas, you know, to upgrade, because you would think that once you get educated, you know, you would upgrade the quality of life, you know, but everybody else does that except us. And then which really reinforces this is the amount of revenue that does go off into these institutions, you know, every Sunday or every other 7 days or what have you. And like I said, as Brother Kwani says, that I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes or any particular organization or religion. My question is mainly is why is none of this revenue being used to get us out of this hellhole that we're in? And then economically, which currently is going on with this political fervor, you say that we're going to address for a minute now, that has got us in very, very precarious situations. Now, another thing, too, is that this revenue could have been used to build up our political infrastructures because, you see, without economic power, you're not going to have any political power. And it's very essential is that we do is we go back to learn our traditions and where we come from and also, too, to embrace the knowledges of our ancestors there to carry on for the next generation.
Right.
So, therefore, yes, I'm going to, comment on that right there. You know, as well, too. You see, it's because if you notice that this is what other groups, you know, are doing is that they go back to their traditions, they maintain their traditions, you know, to have them coming on as well, too, so to keep the quality of their life, you know, up there. And I mean, providing themselves jobs, providing themselves educational institutions. You see, we don't do that. If anything, you know, we do the exact opposite. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. I'm your host and executive producer, Shabaka Sankara, coming to you live from Sacramento, California this evening. And we have our guest speaker with us from South Carolina, Brother Kwani, who's always got some positive vibes to throw our way and to put our way. And so please call in with your comments, questions, and concerns at 646-564-9630 and press 1 to speak live on the air. And today's show was inspired by the Mad Dr. D, our co-host and producer. Now, another thing, too, Brother Kwani, I want to go off into is that when you look at the flamboyancy, you know, a lot of these church elders, these church leaders, you know, the pastor themselves, and like I said, I'm not going to mention no names, but one gets up there talking about, you know, he needs his congregation to come over so many millions of dollars, you know, for an airplane, as opposed to saying, hey, let's put together, you know, $1 million to start a cooperative supermarket or to set up a solar power plant or wind farm or what have you, to start taking ourselves, you know, up off of this grid instead of being dependent upon, you know, our oppressors, you know, to maintaining our basic needs, you know, which is houses, which is food, which is clothing, which is employment for our people. Yeah, so what's your intake on that, Brother Kwani?
Man, as you're talking, it seems like, and to be truthfully honest, man, we're in the situation that we need to be in. Because us as African people, we have always knew how to study science and math. And to where I think there's like 80% of our people here in America.
Right.
Or in particular, the Christianity religion. We are in Christianity.
Right.
Okay. That's an overwhelming amount of our people are there.
Right.
But to say that same, it is in the case what you're talking about, where that same institution is benefiting us, it is not benefiting us. That's like if you're going to, like in the case of security, and you're going to look at God and Jesus as security. And imagine those nine people in that church down here in Charleston. They had been going to church.
Sir.
They were even in church on a Wednesday. Okay, so that's the day that a lot of other Negroes that go to church, they don't care about going to church on a Wednesday. So these were some of the quote unquote good Christians. Okay, these were the ones that wanted to do a little bit more for Jesus and God. All right, and they went in and they should be investing, giving their resources. They're giving their resources, investing their time, investing their energy into the church. All they have. Okay, all the dynamic in which Jesus or God is not there to protect them in the sight of this cracker. You understand? I think right there our minds should be able to go to science and math and say, well, hey, this doesn't add up. We have been giving a lot of our money to the church. We are still not getting employed.
Right.
We are still not there's
right.
no housing program. There is no program to help me get a car, get any future for my children. That's a fact. Even in the church, there is not even a medical system where those of us that are sick in the church, my father was in the church. He died of cancer. None of them church members were around. I knew a sister. I was helping her. I'm not in the church. And she came from the church. She prided herself. That sister transitioned. That sister had five children. That sister had told me how she had been raped by her own people when she was younger. So she had a lot she had gone through. But when the sister was on her deathbed, none of those people were there. None of those people were there. Like, it was me. I was there. And I had to, like I said, I didn't pride myself in, oh, yeah, I'm a church member and I go here and I go to church. But I was helping the sister. So my question is, all those people, you know, that were in the church, where were they? And like I said, it's still the system that kind of allows us to be pimp, even when you're talking about Creflo Dollar in particular and him getting that $65 million for his plan.
Yeah.
He also said that they need, in one of his sermons, he said they need to have, like, some type of system where people come in the church, if they haven't paid their tithes, he said where a red buzzer would go off before they entered in the church. And if it went off, that they would get their Uzi and they need to spray them, that they need to shoot. Now, this is what that cat said. Now, this is what he said. Now, our people still willingly go in to support that bastard. Just the same way with our people going in to support R. Kelly, which this fool having sex with children, this should have gotten scratched off of our books. You understand? But
absolutely.
We're so hypnotized by white supremacy. Now we basically become as a European. So rather than us standing up saying something when we see this injustice done by the cracker or by our own people, we'll turn our head and act like we don't see it.
Yeah.
As long as it's going to keep some money in our pocket, And like
yes,
I said,
sir.
We're not going to win that way until we solidify ourselves and say, I don't care even if we have to go out together or we hit together, we're a team. You know, if one goes
yes,
down,
sir.
We all go down. This is the yeah. African meaning of the word Ubuntu. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That means the cooperative mm-hmm. efforts with us. Well, as my grandma taught me, what my want, your want. My need, your
mm-hmm.
need. That's what my grandma taught
right.
me. She also taught me self-preservation is the first law of nature. You understand?
Right.
And my grandma taught me that while she, you know, had the white Jesus or whatever. But it is up to us, those that know better, to start implementing
mm-hmm.
things, having shows like your
yes,
great
sir.
Show, and getting supporters,
mm-hmm.
showing love to the supporters, showing love to you,
mm-hmm.
the producers. Get,
mm-hmm.
y'all get the money out. Find out how we can,
mm-hmm.
how we can donate. We need to be donating
oh, yeah.
to these, you know, to your platforms, so we can have
yes,
that sense of
mm-hmm.
Platform that is going to promote that African integrity in which we need
yes,
in
sir.
The sight of these pimps pimping
mm-hmm.
us, and you know, because we're gonna have to combat things. So, hey, man, it's a big picture, man.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm going to bring in Mad Dr. D right here, our co-host right there, and, you know, and then get his feedback on this, yeah, because you're coming up with some very, very, you know, excellent points right there. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Mad Dr. D, you there?
Yes, I've been trying to get in there.
Yeah, okay, well, we got you in here, Mad Dr. D.
Yes, I had two callers in here. They were trying to contact me because they can't get through. But
okay,
anyway,
well, they can call
look.
In. Yeah, we'll have the callers call in there here at 646-564-9630 and then press 1 to speak live on air. But okay, but as I guess, as brother was saying from South Carolina, as you had mentioned about, you know, how the pockets are getting raped, and then, of course, brother touched on a little bit, man, about the abuse that goes on in these institutions, you know, with the jacklegs, pulpit pimps, you know, keeping this poverty going on. And then in addition to, what are your thoughts on, you know, how we can change this?
Like, well, like I was saying, first of all, we need these Reverend Ike type people, you know what I mean? And they need to be jailed. That's number one.
Okay.
And they need to be, they need to be deprogrammed, because the
mm-hmm.
black people, especially the older generations, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They are so religious. You know, they'll believe in fried ice cream and boiled ice cubes if the preacher tell them what to do. And deeper and deeper. And then they don't. And then if you take one little kid and give him a hot dog, then they think that they did that for their conscience. Or they go to Christmas and then Thanksgiving and they feed the hungry. You know, and make
mm-hmm.
sure the cameras are there. You know, and then
right.
they turn around here. You know, and then after that, see, I donated $1,000. For what? For
right.
2,000 people, you know?
Right. Yeah. Grandstanding.
And the food that they dope down there didn't come out of their pocket, you know. And,
right.
I don't see nobody there helping me with my gas bill, or I don't see nobody there standing there where my aunt or your uncle or this little kid is in a hospital and can't pay their bill
right.
while you driving around.
Yeah,
and
that's
where
we need our cooperative economics, man, Doctor D.
And then
yeah, not cutting
you
off. Yeah, go ahead.
And then because they have so much influence, you know what I mean? Because you see this item, right? They holding hands and there's this little march, you know what I mean? And not any one of them, you know what I mean? Outside of being a token to make themselves look good, I said they're gonna come down there and really, really, really do something, you know what I mean? Why don't they
well,
go
like,
there?
Yeah,
and,
like his brother was saying. Okay, but man, Dr. D, but as Brother Kwani was saying from South Carolina, and you just proved his, reinforced his point, like what happened down there in Charleston, you know, where nine churchgoers were down there on a Wednesday night for Bible study, and then the perpetual perpetuator lied and waited for an hour, you know, pretending like he was praying, you know, knowing all the while of what his intent was and what he was going to do. And then he murders nine spirits. Yeah, yes, sir. Exactly. That's basically what I'm getting at.
And another thing, what they do, they get these mass
people up in here, and then they get to they get you in masses. You know what I mean? And then it's all about if you're verbal, real loud. See, you can sit there and holler and scream. And yeah, I don't mean you holler and scream at me for no 5 or 6 hours. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Every half hour, you're passing the plate. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
And yeah, I'm sitting around here on the same suit I've been wearing for fucking 5 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to hear any of that, you know. If you want to help somebody, you want to get them dirty judges, you know what I mean, these dirty politicians.
Right.
Why don't you educate them and tell them they're the real enemy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the worst part about it is they got the niche in there, and then you're all grand people and aunts and older people, and then they will fight us, you know what I mean? Because they'll believe.
Okay, now let me interject here something. Okay, let me interject something here, Mad Dr. D. Okay, so basically what you're saying is that is to keep us complacent, pretty much keep us obedient, you know, to the American social order of how they oppress us. And then also, too, gentlemen, and I'm going to ask you this here, too, Brother Coyne, is that a lot of the church members that I've been seeing on social media, that a lot of these pastors have been taking their parishioners to court and suing them for back ties?
Yes,
yeah, you familiar with that there, Brother Kwani?
No, brother, I'm not familiar with that. But, man, listen, when we look at how ruthless this church is, we
yes, sir.
We know that I wouldn't doubt it. Just like when just like the case of the pastor telling his congregation that his semen, if they drank his semen or if they oral sex, that's like something they'll be getting the fluid from God. So the reality is,
right,
with this religion thing, you even have a church of Satan where they probably
mm-hmm.
do the same thing, but where they're promoting
mm-hmm.
Satanic. And so I want to say that upon the creation of this, like you're saying, like where they're charging, taking people to court for back ties, and,
right,
you know, probably it's probably all kind of other stuff as well, brother. So rather than, because
mm-hmm.
you know these are the devils. These are
mm-hmm.
a lot of times these preachers, even with Eddie Long, where they utilize their power
mm-hmm.
They utilize their flamboyance, their riches and their materials. Like Eddie
mm-hmm.
Long had a Rolls Royce with his
mm-hmm.
I think he had his and this came from a brother that used to be an ex minister, and he told me himself Eddie Long had a Rolls Royce with chrome rims on there. And I think he had his
mm-hmm.
initials engraved in that. When you have so many brothers and sisters throughout the whole world that are going without any food, even in the Flint,
right,
Michigan
yeah.
case, I think there's some other place
right.
where the water is dirty. I would just be questionable, why aren't these people utilizing that energy and that platform
right.
and that money to
mm-hmm.
help aid those situations? You understand what I'm saying? Rather than that,
absolutely.
You have a situation where they're performing evil works, they're doing evil duties, they're having sex with
mm-hmm.
little children, they're taking people to
right.
court for back ties, they are, you know, having
mm-hmm.
maybe raping little boys. This is, and when you look at the lineage, of course, this is the same thing that the priests do. Those priests over there
mm-hmm.
in the cathedrals of you know, over
yeah.
there in Europe, or you know, them English folks. This is the same
mm-hmm.
thing over there with the Pope. They have sex with those little young, you know, they had the scandal with the priests
right.
were having sex with the young boys, and, you know, they do this stuff. So, you know, they're basically doing what they are made to do. You know what I'm saying? What
mm-hmm.
they signed on to do.
Okay, now let me ask you this here, brother. Okay, now let me ask you this. Now, it seems to me, too, with that, with these institutions, is that, well, the revenue that they generate, they could ease a whole lot of this homelessness. And I mean, I'm talking about if they, so as they would say, practice what you preach, right? It's because, you know, you got a great deal of homelessness, man, and, you know, that is skyrocketing, you know, all across the country. And it seems to me is that they could have took some of that revenue on a cooperative basis, man, and bought up some of these office buildings, if not, build some, you know, kind of like a reverse process of gentrification and build these properties up with that revenue, man, and you know, go up here and get these people up off the street, like give them 30 days, man, you know, to get themselves together, wash their clothes, evaluate themselves for employment or any other needs that they might need medically, you know, mentally, of course, spiritually. You know, and I just, you know, just find it ironic, you know, that they got all this wealth that they generate, but yet, though, that they don't want to go out there and reinvest it back into the community to make the community self-sufficient for itself, you know, like all the other communities are doing. And, but with us, man, they still got that mental shackle on our mind, okay? So, yeah, I'm asking you gentlemen, you know, to comment on that. Mad Dr. D.
What I was trying to say on that point is, as far as these religious leaders, quote unquote, black ones, and they do, they might get a couple they don't believe me. They're into real estate. Why? Because it's a tax write-off. And I'm gonna take, and they're the coolest. Our landlords are there. They don't take no. They don't say we'll waive their first and last. Come on in. They say you got rules. Mm-hmm. You gotta go there. You can't have your cousin come out. Who's there? You know, they so strict. I mean,
control.
And if not, you'll
get, yeah, they want to control aspects of your life.
I know.
Right.
And so, man, this is what I live through. This is what I go through on daily. This is what I see all the time. You know what I mean? I'm down there. I get out there. You know what I mean? And I sit there and it's sickening. And then they turn around here and use it. And see, they use the Bible for a weapon. You know?
Okay.
And then the weak-minded or the religious people who really, really believe what they believe, they take advantage of that. I'm not the one. You know what I mean? Because first of all, I don't have to sit here, you know, 4 or 5 hours, have you holler screaming at me and tell me what God told you. You know what I mean? You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because if he did know, then he would tell you stop abusing the people.
Yeah.
You know, that's number one.
Exactly.
And as far as you know, and they don't help the youth. They may get one little program here and here, but it's a tax write-off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, with the 501c3 status.
And it's a sick thing because people here are struggling as it is. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then they turn around
and
here.
That's the point that I
made. I'm sick and tired of them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sick and tired of them. And the thing is, like, there's no end. It's like, there's no end.
Right.
You know, because that's it. This was really, you know. And then you had the nerve, and actually they take the same oath as they do from the judges, the politicians, you know, the president, and the religion.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got, like say, those the Pope and the Catholic. They've been screaming to them little boys since time began, and they think it's normal, you know. And then when they do get busted, that's sick. They're sick,
yeah.
And remember, the Christianity was came from Europe. Because the Africans, we didn't know nothing about that. They was on fire.
Right. Yeah.
They was on fire.
That there was brothers. That was brothers. Kwani's point that he was making with, you know, going back to traditions, is because with the concept of Sankofa is that going back to tradition is the first step forward, and that there's pretty much, you know, what we're doing here with the black. Experience enhanced. You see what I mean? And as I said, you inspired the show today. Is that with it being on Sunday, and all this revenue goes to the community, and we're constantly, you know, staying out here, you know, in a very, very bad way. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, you know, you're listening to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. I'm live here on the air here with the Mad Dr. D, our co-host, and tonight's subject is exactly awful pimp poverty, and also too in God we trust and all others pay cash. And then the sad truth about it is that anytime that we try to implement something for our educational infrastructure, and I want to mention that there a little bit because we're down to our last 30 minutes, okay? Now, both you gentlemen are familiar with the sister there in Buffalo, New York, that had Child Protective Services take her children away from her. It's because she was homeschooling the kids, and then to add insult to injury, she went through all the proper paperwork did what was required from her, you know, dealing with the educational situation there in the state of New York. So what are your comments on that, Brother Kwani from South Carolina?
Well, I'm going to say this right here, man. It's beginning to be a thing where, you know, the attempt that the sister was doing is that she was trying to get the hell off the plantation. That the reality is that this education system has not facilitated and given our children the sense of education that they need for their organic sustainability. They only teach them to be system duplicates and how to be surrogates for the cracker. That's a fact. I will say that, you know, salute to the sister in this case for her wanting and having the willingness to and the gumption to go out there and want to have her child taught from home, because we have the overwhelming amount of success stories that come from the children that are taught at home. I think I heard one little girl, she made it to college before like 13 or 14.
Right.
And like I said, when we have these types of dynamics, of course we can't throw it off of the table, but the reality is that the cracker, the European, is not wanting us to go from the plantation. And we are going to have to be collective in our efforts. Those of us that are conscious, those of us inside helping bring some attention, just as in you and your platform discussing this topic, you know, and making awareness to it. You know, our black lawyers, those people, you know, provide, try to help the sister. That's what we're going to need to do, so that if there are any more sisters or brothers that want to do this, rather than them being afraid and scared they're going to get locked up, you know, they can feel like, okay. But I'm convinced that this is the America that we live in. America is not trying to make this a more comfortable place for those of us that are trying to stay here. A lot of people love America, and they're going to die with America. But I don't see them trying to make it more comfortable for us, those black people that have endured the pain, that have built this country, especially from slavery. That nature, you know, I think it gets real deep, brother.
Yes, sir. Okay, Mad Dr. D, what do you have to say about all that?
Well, like I say, first of all, we gotta get our heads out of the dirt. You know what I mean? And wake up and look around and find out what's really going on. I spent all my life being poor because God said be poor. I said, but doesn't He say nothing about that He wants to prosper? And that's what they say. So He'll prosper. I'll prosper if you give me some more of my money, and God's gonna bless you. Well, you know what? He already blessed me because I got this. You know. But now I'm giving it to you. So now what? So you get blessed. So because you get a blessing I already got. You know what I mean? You know. I'm sick of them doing that. And then they turn around here. They let these politicians run rampant.
Now, that's another thing, too. I want to emphasize there, too, on Mad Dr. D, that we look at.
Because politicians, you know, and religion is one of the most powerful entities on the planet, because you get the people dead. People will listen to the Pope, you know, they'll listen to any single, you know what I mean, and yet they're the ones doing the best. You know, and then you have masses and masses of people talking to sit there to break your neck to get something you ain't got. And then they go around here and, you know, and so you know what? They ain't getting a dime from me. You know what I mean? If I want to help somebody, I'm going to tell me what to do. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And then they get these little apartment things. And then they say they're the worst. You know, they don't care. They don't care. I mean, they're not living. There's a select few, you know, but the ones who really been true to the game, which is not a game, they're the ones that are suppressed, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they're the ones that people don't really, so you don't get that media coverage, you know.
Right.
Yeah, you know, because there's all of that. There's the powers in the media.
Right.
And politics.
Well, let me say this here, man. Let me say this here, man, Dr. D. Okay, yeah, because there was a gentleman, man, that did an excellent show yesterday on Black I Stand Radio talking about the fake news and how the media manipulates us, and particularly our mindset, you see, you know, to keep us in this condition. And a classic case of that there, you know, is what Dr. Ben Carson had said, what was that, 3-4 days ago, I believe. He's talking about this forced immigration and what have you, and then, well, regardless of how we got here, that we were still immigrants. Okay, what do you got to say on that there, Brother Kwani? And then we're going to take it to you on that there, man, Dr. D. Okay, what do you got to say there,
hey,
Brother Kwani?
Hey, I'm what I'm going to do is, if you don't mind, brother, I was checking some stuff out a couple of days ago. And when we go back and do research and like some stuff coming on surfacing now, that Ben Carson was one of the ones that was pushing for kind of like African studies and African people knowing more about their history. This is like maybe about 10 or 15 years ago. And this is a quote from Ben Carson. This is a quote from Ben Carson. White liberals are the most racist people there are because they put blacks in a box and insist that they think one way. And if they don't, they attack them as illegitimate, all the while denying their policies to destroy blacks, okay? All right.
Right.
Now, you got situations where sometimes these niggas are Negroes are intelligent and they got good damn sense, but then this Negro will come out and make a state, you know, so therefore you are seeing in real time the dynamics of a paid pimp, of a person that's being paid. If you call them a pimp or if you call them a sellout, you know, somebody that's going to sell they team dope, or that's, you know, that's going to get paid off to kind of go in their own house and sabotage their own people all for a check. This is the dynamics, and we have to be careful for this as we're going forward, you know, knowing how to recognize this in other people and ourselves, because we have to realize this, that we have been programmed by the European. A lot of us have gotten our education from the Europeans, so we have to understand and grasp this thing that we call an African worldview, and then start to implement it. And rather than being Carson, you know, he was conscious one time, and then he forgot how to be conscious. You know, when we are conscious, remain being conscious, and go all the way back to Africa if you have to.
No, yes, sir. Going back to tradition.
You know what?
Yeah, go ahead, Dr. D.
I said things, man. All that go back to Africa. First of all, give me the airfare. And number two, I can't go back in the way I haven't been. And number two, I said, first of all, you the one that bought us there from the beginning. You know what I mean? But yet, this is one of the only races on the planet who can't prosper on here outside of warfare or turning each other. And other race on the planet. Oh, that's what breaking their necks to get to the United States. You know what I mean? Because you get it all. You know what I mean? I'm a vet. I've been fighting for 41 years. Where is my house? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But yet you get
That's just it, though, man, Dr. D. Let me say this right here. I think what Brother Kwani is saying is, man, is that we got to embrace our culture, man, to move forward. It's because, see, this is all what these other groups did, what they do. See, this is how they move forward. See, they embrace their cultures because they have a sense of cohesiveness. They have a sense of togetherness. We don't have that due to that plantation system. And then, of course, you know, with this drug infestation, with this mass incarceration, with these crooked-ass jacklegs, pulpit pimps, you know, keep maintaining this poverty. And then anybody, and it's not rocket science, because even in this warped part of the galaxy, 2 + 2 = 4. With the amount of revenue that is generated there in the black churches, man, which exceeds $1 trillion all across the board on an annual basis, there is no way in hell that we should be in the economical situation that we as a people are in. Every damn body comes into our communities, man. They take a revenue roll out of our communities because we're mainly consumers. We are not producers.
Excuse me, I'll drive back in. They don't take our money. We freely give it to them.
Okay, well, once again, just like, you know, what Carter G. Woodson said 50 years ago, man, about the, more than 50 years ago, the miseducation of the Negro. You see what I mean? This is it.
Right,
this is the
right,
mindset.
Right.
That's the mental shock. You see,
Trump,
the, you know, it's the point that's being made, Mad Dr. D. You see, you and I have discussed this.
It's a mental
thing.
Yeah,
go ahead, Mad Dr. D.
They come into these communities, you know, and they use it's a pretty smart way to do it. You know what? That's what it's called, convenient, because your back is too lazy to go to the store where you can get the best deal. You know why? So I set a little shop here, and you know, so why should I go way down there? I go ahead to the corner store and get it. You know, the prices are three times higher. You know what I mean? Then you get talked off by the dog. And then you beg.
Okay,
you know,
yeah, so in other words, okay, now we spoke about this here, Mad Dr. D, you know, on previous show before, is the customer service that you got to have in a black businesses. Oh, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, you're absolutely right on that. You see, we got to have, you know, better customer service skills and better, you know, customer interaction. Yeah, what do you got to say on that there? Yes, sir, go ahead, Brother Kwani. Hold on, Mad Dr. D. Yeah, go ahead, Brother Kwani, and then we'll get back to Mad Dr. D. Go ahead.
I just want to say this, those of us, we have to stop being so, you know, we can be critical. But even in the case, because I have gone into some of those, and maybe sometimes those black business owners are discouraged.
Yes, sir.
Because what they're pumping are
right.
Not popular. So sometimes we, as the ones that are coming in, we have to know better. We have to support those business owners. You understand? You know
right.
That we know
exactly.
Y'all going well. A lot of times for the black people, it's going to cost two and three times more, but this is the sacrifice we have to put out if we want to have our
right.
Children owning businesses. We are going to have
right.
To do this, like, no, hands down. Even if you see a brother and a sister that
mm-hmm.
Didn't treat you so fairly, at a, you know, try your hardest to go back around and get them to see the bigger picture. Maybe say, hey, brother,
right.
Hey, sister, I wasn't, rather than just throwing them under the bus, because we know you got a
right.
Lot of businesses like these church people. Which I, you know,
exactly.
These preachers, they'll take you to court, and then our people still
right.
Run back to them. So they do you
right,
real
yeah,
wrong,
yeah.
And we still go back to them. So I say, even to those brothers and sisters that find it hard, you know,
mm-hmm.
To a lot of times sustain and facilitate, accommodate
mm-hmm.
Black businesses. You know, we all should just
mm-hmm.
Encourage each other, and we have a
yes,
we
sir.
Have an important obligation. Those of us that are business
mm-hmm.
Owners. To happily serve
yes,
our customers. And if we're customers
mm-hmm.
To those bits, we have to happily provide that outlet to that our, you know, to help go in there and support our business owners. So it's a thing that
yes,
it's going to take two part. But like you said, brother, our education that we've had, even to how we see business,
mm-hmm.
it's through the Europeans' cracker eyes. So therefore, when we
right.
Practice business, we're going to try to hit people
mm-hmm.
Over the head just like our teacher did. You know, that's what the white
mm-hmm.
Man told us to do. Hit people over the head, you go and buy it for the low price, and then you go back and sell it for two,
right.
Three, four times more. You understand? So this is the
right.
Same, more or less. And when we look at trade and bartering, this is why we didn't have
yeah.
That in ancient Africa, because we didn't see the need to, like, to go out there and have three or four, five
right.
No, that wasn't all the time the case. You know what I'm saying? That
right.
Was enough for everybody to go around, like, you know, for everybody,
mm-hmm.
Man. So I think the more that we
mm-hmm.
Get back to that, we can learn how to be critical, but we can be critical in a much more effective way for the business owner.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, Mad Dr. D, what do you got to say about that? Mad Dr. D, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, okay. What do you got to say about that?
It's hard. Well, people are saying because you disagree, but see, and not that we disagree, is that it's called constructive criticism. Now, we understand.
Okay, you mean constructive
that,
criticism, man, Dr. D?
Yes.
Constructive
yeah.
Criticism?
In other words,
go ahead.
In other words, I'm saying they say, this is happening, this is wrong, this and that. It's, oh, this is that. But there's always a middle ground. There's always a common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
Denominator. And so what you do is sit there and figure out either way it go, something ain't right. All right? Because
mm-hmm.
Nobody's no progressing except everybody else but us. And we need to stop
right.
Turning to each other. We need to stop serving. You go to certain neighborhoods, they don't serve onlyness. They don't sell that rot gut, you know?
Right,
they don't
exactly.
Say that. You go to Monterey Park, you go to Hamburg, you ain't gonna get that gut right who keeps us down.
Right.
You know? But either way, go. But see, and then you sit around here, and then after you get drunk, don't come to my store no more, you know. And then you get, man, come on, man, can I go there and buy a bottle? Hey, I'll get the money, you know. And then you turn around and, well, you owe me a nickel. You can't come. And then, are you serious? See,
okay,
Mad Dr. D.
Okay, hold on one second. Okay, we got a caller calling in here. Okay.
Go ahead,
caller. All right, caller there. Okay, yeah, okay. Caller from the area code 937. Okay, all right, okay. Well, I see they went on and hung up. But continue what you were saying, Mad Dr. D. See, the caller went on and hung up. Okay, but go ahead, Mad Dr. D.
And then you sit up in here, and then God, man, I'm going to beg you to go in the store and you disrespected me and then turn around there and be cool. I almost died, a nickel. You know what I mean? And they get away with it. They get away with it. You know
okay.
why? Because you're playing in the brain and you're too damn lazy to walk the other block. And first
right,
of all,
okay.
if an angel is not necessary for me, that I have dignity. You know what I mean? And there's nothing in there that you will sit there because they don't understand that we are the power. The power is the consumers. You know?
Exactly. Now, hold that thought, man, Dr. D. We got a caller calling in, man, Dr. D. Okay, hold that thought. Okay, all right, caller calling from area code 646, last 4 is 824. You're live on the air on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Okay, what's the comment, question, or concern?
About Ghani, Hotep Black Family.
Oh, yes, sir. How
my
you doing,
only question
Ghani?
Is
Hotep, brother, Hotep.
Hey, hold
yes,
up. I'm
absolutely.
Johnny. What's new?
Yeah, what's going on? Okay,
hey,
what's your comments on this here, Brother Elgani?
Hey, yo, listen. The black man's agenda hasn't changed much since before the civil rights movement. The situation with the freedom and independence. You hear me? Of the African American
yes,
population here has not changed since before Emancipation Proclamation. What we're looking at here is our disconnection with being a formidable body of humans on Earth because we don't have that unifying methodology,
right.
whereas we all move together as one. We don't move as one anymore
due to many
factors. You understand? Many factors, such religion, politics, and economics. So what we need, there are many talking heads out in the universe, and the universe is wide open. I hope everybody know it. It's been a hole in the universe where knowledge reign supreme, and anybody has access to supreme knowledge at their fingertips. But what happens is there's a traffic jam where we don't know who to follow. We have many talking heads out there that have been in existence. They live in today, living icons. How are we going to have living icons on Earth with us today? People who claim that they have this power to guide the people, and the people are still stuck on. And let me explain
stuck on
stupid.
Yeah, stuck on stupid, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know they're stuck on stupid because Dr. King said those are the two dangerous aspects of our people or on human families are, you know, the conscientious stupidity and it's one of them, what is it? Sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. You know, the one, radio talk show host, gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
I like his style, but I don't like his delivery because he thinks he can counter the effect of a knowledgeable one. There are many knowledgeable ones. Mm-hmm. You got to get back. America runs on Duncan. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all hear
yes,
that America runs on Duncan situation?
No, okay,
right?
yeah, enlighten
us,
brother.
Let me explain. See, when America allowed for Uber corporations, Uber is another one, who is maintained and operated by immigrants, right?
Right. Yes,
taking
sir.
Taking all American dollars, right? And taking those dollars and not putting it back into the economy, right?
Right.
What they're doing is draining the economy. They've been draining it for years. right?
Yes,
but
sir.
America lost
yes,
it due to their own ignorance, sincere ignorance, and conscientious
yes,
stupidity. You understand? When
mm-hmm.
black man is the only give a damn about America, because all the rest of the people outside of the so-called American psyche, you know, we're
mm-hmm.
American by happenstance, circumstance, and certain other situations, because far as I'm concerned, personally, we couldn't possibly
mm-hmm.
be immigrants because we never were invited. You understand?
Right.
America put it in their own writing that we were not even human beings. Right?
Yes, sir.
Created
yeah.
laws.
Yeah, that's real talk.
Subhuman, right? Created
mm-hmm.
laws and rules allowing their people to treat us subhuman even to today. You understand? This
right.
is ridiculous. Believe that
totally.
We can be a part of the American system without unification. We got to stop bullshit.
Yes, sir.
We have some
yes,
goddamn
sir.
Chicken stores next door to the Arab chicken store.
Absolutely.
Arab
yeah, without a doubt.
Next to a church.
Right, exactly.
Hey, yo, y'all
yeah,
better
you
know. Yo, God is real, man. And I studied God for many years, and I hear these talking
yes,
heads. Thinking they know about God and thinking they know about man. I'm studying environmental science right now. I study sociology.
Yes, sir.
I study anthropology, African history. But I don't have no particular degree in any one of these universities. I call them makeshift universities because what they're talking about is
right.
nonsense. If you've been at HBCU for 50 fucking years and you don't have no leaders taking us up out of bondage
right.
by now,
yes,
where the
sir.
Fuck is our army and shit. Now people are counting the
exactly.
effect of all the disenfranchisement and the
mm-hmm.
open, you know, the open war against the black man. And right in your face, they're telling you this shit, shooting little boys
yeah.
in an open carry state with a pellet gun. What the fuck wrong with us?
Yeah.
We're
yeah,
this
exactly.
shit? Yo, God.
Yeah.
Yo, my number.
And that's...
You got my number, but my handle is not the same as my name, because I kept my name, my
yes,
corny
sir.
Ass American name. And I ain't going to change it for nothing because my mother had to have the foresight to name me that. You know what I'm saying? I try
mm-hmm.
to warn people. These
mm-hmm.
people are hateful. America's a hateful people. Disgusting
yeah.
hateful. Yeah, look at those
mm-hmm.
look at those people. They're going to implode in Washington. They so damn old.
Yeah.
They don't care about life. Look at them. They hate themselves. So how we can't even listen
yeah.
to them. Tune out.
Yeah.
I tuned out like I tuned out of rap music when they start talking this craziness. Got white boys talking
mm-hmm.
about they the head of the rap game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Giving R&B awards
like,
to white women and shit like that.
Yes, sir.
So listen to me. I'm going
oh,
to hang
yeah.
up and I'm going to go ahead
no,
and listen.
Please,
and call the doctor.
Yes, sir.
Yo, doc. Listen here, doc. All the doctors. I know a few doctors myself. I sat down and listened to Dr. Clark Bill with Julian Garvey.
Right.
Julius Garvey.
Right.
And put Julius Garvey
yeah.
in his place. Julius Garvey talking that bullshit about why African Americans changed their names from the American slave owners to the Arab name. But Julian, he had a point. He said, yeah, because the Arabs were just as bad against the Africans as the Muslims, you know, the Arabs. And I was like, yeah, but when I was young at the time, I was like, yeah, but he don't have no place in coming at us like that. You know, I got offended. But as I got older, I understood
mm-hmm.
what he was saying. So that was all the way back
mm-hmm.
in the 90s, man, when we was at the Poetry Theater. But I've been out there. I've been around and I've seen people. And I hear people.
And
there's a lot of talking
heads. I'll
call
it. Yes, sir. Listen here. I'm the man, Dr. D. And you know what? You talk about some people get pissed off. I'm like this. You know what I mean? I take things. I shoot from the hip. And first of all, it's better pissed off than pissed on. Because I'm going to tell you something. You know what I mean? Don't be pissing my head and tell me it's ringing. You know, because
yeah,
it's like you said, you know, Uber.
They snuck that in on us. That's somebody else.
Man,
They blindsided on that one.
We understand English.
Okay, yeah, we got some background noise going in there. Okay, and try
yo,
to
man,
bring
I'm
him in.
Coming,
okay, mad Dr.
Yo, Seth Corey. Yo, I'm coming at him, so you better know, man.
Hey, I'm the man.
Absolutely,
yeah,
brother.
You
got
go
it.
For it. But this is
yes,
our video, and you say it, man. You say it because sometimes, I mean, you have to stop people to get the truth. You know what I mean? Why do you have to,
right.
to get your kids shot to understand, man, I think they're killing us. Bam. Now, when it has been home, then all of a sudden, shot. How many times have I been on the street and you in front of me and the guy in front of me stuck on a pile of dog stuff, right? Don't you think I'm smart enough to walk around me? You know?
Yo, you remember
okay,
now,
man, Dr. D.
Yeah,
man,
let me
Dr.
ask you
D, okay, you got some. Yes, sir.
Let me ask you a question. Do you remember?
Yes,
now,
sir.
Now, this is an old school. This is Dr. Malachi Z. York. When he was down there
okay.
in Bushwick, in Brooklyn.
Okay.
In the 70s,
yes.
going on in the 80s. So what he did was he started guarding his own community. So he
okay.
turned Bushwick. Now, there was no crime when Dr. York locked down a couple of blocks, and everybody agreed that it was necessary because we needed security because people were getting robbed. And other communities, they do it all over the place, especially those JDLs, you know. They always
mm-hmm.
carrying on like they got a little security system. Then you got everybody else,
right.
you know, Chinaman. The Chinaman infiltrated
mm-hmm.
the police now. You got Chinese people on the police force in America. So America is really contradicting
right.
itself, talking about they got Indians with turbans on and they're police. You know, how you going to have
mm-hmm.
an Indian police in your force anyway? Because in India is not
right.
really, you know, they will never have an American psyche. You know what I'm saying? They come in.
Mm-hmm.
I got the Chinese police in China, Chinatown as a communist
mm-hmm.
police. But he's still Chinese. He ain't going to change his way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. So how is it
yeah.
that the my chain of thought, I'm basically thinking on how the African-American groups who claim to be
mm-hmm.
in some sort of position of guidance and power, how they are not able to lock down their own communities, monitor their own communities,
right.
push that money
exactly.
back into them communities, or them mega churches.
Right.
There's some jobs to be opening up when you look at a mega church.
Yes, sir.
You can look at these big monsters claiming they got this power
yep.
over the people's heads. Yeah, you got some power?
Right.
Open up some jobs and let the people watch the community. Let's
that's
monitor
exactly
our community
point.
And see what's happening. Yeah, it's to the point
absolutely.
Where we need to be watching ourselves. Because you can't tell me in Chicago, X amount of people keep getting killed on the weekend and nobody knows who the fuck
yes,
did it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What's wrong with it? If the police
you know,
have all these
mm-hmm.
cameras out, you know what I mean? All these cameras all over the place and y'all don't see nothing?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But I bet you what, I if you saw my man slap one of them, I bet you that camera's all up in you if you mess with one of them.
Oh, man. You already know.
Mm-hmm.
You already
you know.
Because they don't
know.
They tested the black community.
I'm from Camden, New Jersey.
The black community for years.
Now, listen here. I'm from Camden, New Jersey. Now,
mm-hmm.
look it up. The most dangerous city on the planet. Camden, New Jersey.
Amen.
That's where Camden people are from. Camden, New Jersey. I'm from Camden.
Mm.
And that's right across the way from Philadelphia. You know? And I sit here and I wonder, and people is so, see, they play for ignorance. And then, it's not cool. Man, isn't that? All that old stuff. Knowledge is power. You know what I mean? And they know
mm-hmm.
that, but we don't. You know what I mean? Just
mm-hmm.
saying, you know, I'm cool, or I'm with my boys, your boys. I mean,
yeah.
I say, you know, see, I've been fighting the VA, like I said, for 41 years. And I'm going to tell you,
okay, hold on, Mad Dr. D, okay.
My point is, what I did, you see, all the rules came from New York. And so what you do is, it's your game. But all I got to do is know your game and know your rules, and I'll beat you with your own game. You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gentlemen,
I hate to cut this in short, okay? I hate to cut this in short. We're down to our last 2 minutes, and I most definitely want to thank, you know, everybody for calling in and participating. We appreciate Brother Gannon calling in there. We definitely appreciate Brother Kwani from South Carolina calling in. And we definitely appreciate the mad Dr. D, our producer and co-host, because he inspired today's show of Jack Legs, Pauper Pimps, and Poverty, and while this wealth that's come through these ties is not doing nothing for the black community. And appreciate you, gentlemen. Yeah, so go ahead and say how can we get in touch with you, gentlemen.
Okay,
Brother Kwani.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay, I'm going to get in touch with you today.
Muhammad is dead. I'm on, brother, man. I try to stay on the I try to keep it stealth, man, because it's not really necessary to be exposed to the world as far as in this,
yes,
this world is chaos. It's so much chaos, man. But my number is there. But my handle, they call me Shahid Ali, and they know me.
Yes, sir.
My teachings, I teach history and the connection between the Adon, the Mulazin, you know, Bilal.
Yes, sir.
Bilal is hardly mentioned in any Islamic circle. You know what I mean? When I was growing up studying Islam, they mentioned the brother Bilal one time, but the way I see it, Bilal lived 40 years after the prophet died, and he the one kept teaching them Islam, because he knew Islam in the first place, you know, because Nabi Salam, the prophet, he didn't know Islam until after he got, you know, the wind of it. And where did he get wind? If he the one who freed the black man from bondage. You know, Bilal was a slave that the prophet, the Arab prophet, was supposedly freed, and he became his friend. Then he learned Islam. So that I put that together like that, and I put that in a book. So I'm going to get at y'all in the future, you know, because it's necessary that we know certain principles apply when they are universal. Yeah, I mean, all principles
absolutely
universal, you know. So everybody, you know, peace and blessing to everybody, you know, stay up. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to get off the line because I'm studying just some statistics right now. You know, I'm trying to learn some statistics. You know, so I'm going to get at you on a later date.
Thank you, brother, for calling in, man. Definitely appreciate you having you on the show.
No problem. Peace.
Yeah, always. Okay. All right. Okay there, Brother Kwani. Okay. Yeah, you got any closing comments? You know, we're kind of a little bit here in overtime.
Okay. Well, man, brother, if anybody wants to connect with me, I am on Facebook. And my name is E. Kwani, I-Q-A-N-I-F. That is my first name. My full name is Ikwani Shai Imhotep. And what we deal with inside our family, African traditions, and we have our Henisu family. And Henisu is basically, you know, that the priest over there is Aunt Benu. He has his new book out, Remembering Arcea. And that is, according to the great scholars, that is the most in-depth book, understanding, knowing about the culture and the tradition of our Mekemet ancestors, or the Remotu people on the Nile Valley. And those are our ancestors that come from Kemet, or you know, Egypt in modern day. So you know, we are working to resurrect those works and you know, relive that inside our culture, man. So I just want to say thank you to the show, man. And you know, all the time we may not be able to agree with each other, but hey, as long as we come up with some sound answers and some stuff that's actually working, providing some results in doing that stuff, that's the main thing. So black love, black power to you, brother.
Thank you, brother. Okay, and thank you for calling in, man. Enjoyed having you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, that is the Matters of Black Fans, March 12th, 2017. And definitely keep a look at our like page about Black Experience Camp for our next dynamic episode coming up. So thank all our listeners, thank all our callers, and signing off, Sacramento, California.